This is City Bible Church. We believe in the Bible. We believe in meeting with the God of the Bible. We're going to go to the Bible in just a moment. I want to open up with a word of prayer as we get into our third and final session on Lift. God, I thank you that you gave us the Bible as a means to learn more about you and to be changed. I thank you that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Your ways are higher than our ways. God, help us to not just be hearers, but to be doers. Help us to experience real change. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you remember that very first time you were on an airplane and you experienced Lift. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but has anyone here not ever flown? Okay. It's all right. We love you. The first time, whether you're in a hot air balloon or you're on a little single prop, which I enjoy, but I don't recommend for everybody, or a jet, the very first time your body feels that lift off the ground, that is a different experience, right? That's a whoa. Different people have different reactions. That's something that I definitely enjoy. I grew up a little bit of an adrenaline junkie. I've done, cliff jumping and all sorts of things, which resulted, skateboarding and other things that have resulted in my various broken bones and concussions. But Lift is quite an experience. And when you experience it, you know it, right? There's no denying it, right? There's that didn't happen. No. When you experience Lift, it's obvious. And it's changes where you are. So we've talked just as an object lesson a little bit about the physics of lift. What is lift? We talked about NASA earlier this morning. It's the first time I've ever heard NASA discussed as it relates to communion, by the way. Lift is a mechanical force generated by a solid object moving through a fluid. Yes, water or air are both referred to by scientists, they're a little strange, as a fluid, right? And so you see there in the airplane, lift needs to be greater than the weight, and the thrust needs to be greater than the drag. But really what's going on is at the wing, right? Or the ping pong ball that we just saw together. At that wing, what is happening is the movement through the air is causing a change in air pressure. Now, all of us here in this room, we're all experiencing about the same amount of air pressure, about 15 pounds per square inch around all of your body. Now, I don't know if you are aware, but if that suddenly dropped, you would have an embarrassing moment, right? If that air pressure was suddenly greatly increased, it would be quite painful, right? We are, human beings are literally designed for about that amount of air pressure. Right? Okay? That's the design. Now, when a wing moves through the air, what happens is a change in air pressure. Before, it was the same air pressure around the entire object. The shape of the object causes there to be less pressure above the wing and more pressure underneath. But it's the shape of the object that causes that change. But it is the force, we saw in the last slide in the definition, the force that causes the object to lift. The object is not lifting itself. Are you with me? Now, we're making a spiritual application here. And I believe that if you read Jesus and how he told stories, this is kind of similar. This is the kind of thing that he probably would do today as opposed to mustard seeds and other things like that, right? Most of us don't know what a mustard tree looks like, right? We just know how to put more mustard on it. So what we talk about, it's a change in pressure. There's a change in pressure as you're moving through. And that's how we're designed to go through life, right? Through. You don't get into life and stop. Now, spiritually, what we've talked about is asking this question because we believe that we're created, right? Excuse me, I'm going to sit because I have a sprained knee. I'm not trying to be hip and cool, but I'm just going to sit down. We're created with a certain spiritual shape, okay? If we are a created being and God loves us and what the Bible says about us is true, then we are created to have spiritual lift. not to be a downer, not to crash and burn, not to always feel like our life is a drag. We can't go anywhere. We can't accomplish anything. Not to experience constant pressure, depression, oppression. Can I get an amen? That's not how we're designed to live. We are created by design, by a creator who designed amazing and intricate things. As I'm learning, the knee is a very intricate thing, right? Now, if I'm in the spiritual shape that I'm designed for, as I move through life, God will have more effect on me than anything else. Okay? Now, we can, like an airplane going down the runway, resist. Right? We have a choice. Instead of our wings out like this, we can go, what? Right? We have a choice to get out of shape, to get out of the shape that we're created for. But if we're in the spiritual shape we're created for, then God will have more effect on us than anything else. And mysteriously, I don't get this, especially as a pastor, you know, and this isn't my first experience as a pastor. I've been around helping people in their lives for a long time. I'm closer to 40 than you think. But what always surprises me, why does God give us a choice? Clearly, we don't deserve one. But He does. He gives us a choice. Am I maintaining my spiritual shape so that I experience lift? So that whether times are hard or whether times are easy, I can be in flight the way that I'm designed for, right? Sometimes just maintaining your attitude, right, is really difficult because of the real stuff you're going through, right? But God still has designed you for lift. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be smooth and easy, but it doesn't mean that you are capable of something beyond what normal people would expect. Right? Beyond what, if I'm only using my brain and I'm only using logic, science, whatever, to approach my life, I'm not going to attain what I have been spiritually created for. Okay, I know, a little warm fuzzy, so let's get more specific. So again, just real quick to clarify, if flight is going to happen, lift has to exceed weight. Okay, this will make sense at the end of our talk here shortly. Thrust has to exceed drag, okay? There's a lot of different applications of this, but the one that we've been specifically focused on is lift. I want you to be able to say today, my life is on the way up because the love of God has more effect on me than anything else. Now, when we started this, it was not my intention for all 3 weeks to be focused on the love of God, but I really found it necessary to stay focused on just this one thing. I know that I have, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, experienced a difficult time when it comes to receiving the love of God. Right? That's more difficult than it sounds. Receiving the love of God. So I want you to be able to say, my life is on the way up because the love of God has more effect, more influence on me than anything else in my life. That includes good things. That includes created things, objects, people, music, thoughts, other books. Hello? What is having more effect on me? Because if God is having more effect on me, that has a really specific, direct result. So we experience lift by hearing about God's love for us and being drawn into a lifestyle of more focus on God than anything else. See, it's actually kind of simple. It's not really complicated. I need to have more focus on God than anything else in my life. It's not about a guilt trip. It's not about hours. It's not about quantity. Hello? It's about quality. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Everyone doing okay? Okay, if you don't have a Bible, we have a couple right there that you can feel free to even take one home with you if you like. Borrow it for the morning, take it home, whatever. We had those donated. And I know that some of you that have been believers for a long time are used to other translations. here just because of the number of people that we have come through that don't have any context with the Bible, don't have any understanding about. We really like to use the New Living just to make it a little bit easier to read. So Romans chapter 5, we're going to read verses 6 through 11, okay? Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for our sins. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right with God, since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. You say amen? Now, I know that to your logical mind, or maybe some of you have developed a religious spirit, that might sound weird. But it's the Bible. It's reality. And the essence of that is the same no matter what translation you read. We talked about it in previous weeks about how God's love for us is personal. It's not just for those of you that are here in this room. Right? It's a personal relationship between you and God. I cannot thank God for you for the stuff that he's done in you. Only you can thank God for you for the stuff that he's done in you. Hello? Right? Okay, so I want to try a little bit of interaction now, and I want to ask you a question, and I want you to give me an answer, not all at the same time. What do you know about God's personal love for you? It's unconditional. Helps me grow. Good? Mariah? I learn a lot. Learn a lot from it, yeah. Sacrificial. Right? Sacrificial. Lauren? Keeps me focused. That's good. Brittany?
It's inspiring.
It's inspiring. That's good. What does God's personal love for you mean? Daniel? Right. He shows me how to show the same love to other people.
Relationship.
Relationship. Right. It means a relationship to me. That's good. It's right. That's really good. It says, I'm worth it. That's something you can repeat to yourself every day. It's better than anything Dr. Phil has for you. Yes?
It encourages my heart.
It encourages my heart. Yeah, exactly. Okay? What does God's, how does God's personal love for you change you? Lisa? We could just sit around and think about that all day. That's really good. It helps me see myself the way that he sees me. Yes?
It helps me love other people.
Right. That's good. And that's a change for me. It helps me love other people. Any other change? What does God's personal love for you say about your life? Lisa? I constantly need him, yes. Yeah, the fact that his love is constant for us reinforces that, right? That's good. Anyone else? It's meaningful. That your life is meaningful. Yeah, that's huge. Anyone ever felt worthless? You don't have to raise your hand. Right? God's love for me, his personal love for Ben. That means my life is meaningful. You know, my name is Benjamin David, and that means favored son of the right hand. And I can tell you that I've spent a lot of my life not feeling like that had any connection with me. I know what it's like to feel worthless. Well, when God's personal love for you starts to change you, when you start to set aside the time and energy so that it will have more effect on you than any other force, what anyone else has done or said about you, that brings change where you don't have to feel that way anymore. It literally changes the way you see yourself. Nate?
It gives me purpose.
Gives me purpose. That's very good. So God's personal love for you brings that change, changes the way you see your own life. I'm not worthless. I have purpose. Amen? And we're done. That's really good. I have discovered yesterday that the knee injury that I had from an accident on April 15th has left me in a place where I can't walk normally. Got on a treadmill yesterday and had someone, a physical therapist, watching me walk. And I can't walk normal. I've developed this limp. And even when I really tried, it's still not quite there. Now, I'll be all right. We got a good plan in place. But it's easy for us emotionally to walk with a limp. You know, somebody hurts you deep, heart, maybe as a child or as an adult. They say something about you. They do something to you. And you receive the love of God. You make a mental decision, okay, God loves me. But yet you still emotionally walk with a limp. I've gone through that. Anyone ever gone through that? I mean, that happens easy, right? I want to say to you today, that's not God's plan for you, to walk with a limp. Now, there are some scars and there are some things that we learn from those experiences. It's not to say that it's completely forgotten for the rest of your life. But God's plan is to heal you completely. To heal you completely so that you can walk without a limp. Let's come back to that. Let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture. Over and over in Psalm 136, His faithful love endures forever. God's love for you never ends. It never ends. Get that. You may need to write down a few of these this morning. I can email them to you if you want, whatever. You text me, whatever. You could tweet me. Right. His faithful love endures forever. Okay? Psalm 33, verse 5. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. Even in Baltimore City. Right? Or wherever you find yourself, a family reunion in the wilderness. Outdoors, indoors, Vegas. God's love fills the earth. One of our network churches is in Vegas, has the Hookers for Jesus ministry. I can tell you that all over the earth, God's love fills the earth. Okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. I love this. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. I got to admit, sometimes it's easier for me to put my trust in the fact that General Tso's chicken will always taste that way than it is for me to put my trust in the love of God, to bank on it, that it will always be there, that it will always be the same, that it will be always growing toward me. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You go to Exodus 34, the first time that God comes down to the earth and speaks out loud what name we should call Him. And this is the same. This is how God describes Himself. Compassionate, merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. I know when you other people have failed you, it's hard to believe that God won't. Isaiah 43, verse 4. This is a good one to write down. You are precious to me, says God speaking. You are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. I love you. That should affect you. That's God talking about you. Wow. I have not been precious or honorable or lovely. But God says, you are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. Oh, sorry. Romans 8, 38 and 39 boils down to nothing can separate us from the love of God. You ever had a friend who said, you know, I just got to, you know, do this, that, and the other, kind of get myself straight before I come to church? That's the opposite of what God wants. The direct opposite. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Now, before we had talked about some really basic, simple, easy suggestions for how to help you digest God's love. One is to write down somewhere where you can see it every day, a short verse that gives you that reminder. I put Isaiah 43, 4 there as an example. You know, write it in lipstick on your mirror in the morning. Write it on the palm of your hand every day. Write it on a post-it note. Put it on your steering wheel. Write it on the back of your phone. Write it on your screen of your phone. Right? Get a verse to get a reminder. And a daily say a prayer, something really simple like, I receive your love. Like we did this morning. Just pause every day and say, God, I receive your love. How long does that take? A second. Real simple suggestion. And what you're listening to, your daily tunes, do you ever stop to listen to something that reminds you of God's love for you? Now, I'm not promoting musical mediocrity, right? But listen to something that's encouraging, that lifts you up. I mean, some, quote, Christian music is depressing, but there is some out there that will remind you of God's love for you, right? Now, we've talked before about really simple suggestions for making a plan for you to spend more time and energy to receive God's love. You got to start with receiving it. You got to start with making a commitment that you're going to continue to receive it. And then you got to make a plan. Where, when, how am I going to do this? And then you got to do it. I don't believe in busy people. We all have 24 hours in a day. You will do what you want to do. Now, I want to come back to this whole idea of God not wanting you to walk with a limp. Okay? God wants you to be completely healed. He wants you to be completely healed. Now, sometimes, and I'm surprised that no one asked me after the first week, what's up with the toilet paper tube? You remember that? Oh, what did the ball do when we put the TP tube there? It shot up. Why did it shoot up? Chris, would you like to enlighten us? Right. Creating a higher pressure situation. You're capping off, so there's a lot less pressure above and a lot more pressure for beneath. It's a concentrated. Now, I think all of you need that encouragement of really easy daily things to do, but I also want to encourage you that if you feel God tugging on you with this subject, you need some set-aside time. Okay? You start with 5 minutes. Give yourself a day at some point. Plan a weekend at some point. You need some just you and God set aside time where you turn off everything with a screen. Hello? I got too many things with a screen in my house. Everything with a screen gets turned off, and I have some time, even if it's just 5 minutes, to sit down with my Bible, a pen, and a piece of paper, and listen to God and absorb the fact that God loves me. That represents the toilet paper too. Right? A set aside, a concentrated, I'm going to block out the obstacles. I'm going to block out the distractions. Some people call it TAWG. It's T-A-W-G. I'm a time alone with God. We need to come together and ask each other, text each other, email each other this week. How's your TAWG? All right, how is your time alone with God? Are we setting aside time to increase the pressure of God's love on us to give us the lift that we need in those life situations? Now, when we do that, something happens really easy. You may be familiar with the passage of Scripture talking about sin and bad habits and talking about the weight that so easily besets us. You may remember that. Hey, we've all got our thing, right? No perfect people in this room. Everyone has something, right? That is the easy go-to, I know I'm not supposed to do that, say that. Hello? Right? Okay. That represents weight that you are not designed to carry. If God created the whole world and He created you, don't you think it's possible that He created you with an ability to carry a certain amount of spiritual weight? Well, guess what? The Bible's pretty clear. Sin is not one of those things. Right? Responsibility in a marriage with a child and in your job with the people around you that don't know Jesus, that's appropriate weight at different seasons of your life. Is this making sense? Sin is not an appropriate weight. Guess what? Bitterness, hurt, unforgiveness. That's you're holding on to something where you're never going to be able to function the way that God has functioned you to in your life until you let go. So I've got to, at some point, turn everything with the screen off and stop and say, am I carrying weight that I'm not designed to carry? It happens so easy. We come to a place in our life where my life is a drag. Right? I'm going through fear. I'm going through depression. I'm going through anxiety. I'm going through stress. I'm so stressed out. Right? And we can fall prey to a poverty complex. No matter how much money you make, you can fall prey to a, I have to work this much to earn this much to pay these bills. Uh-uh. Wrong. We can all live on less. We can. My sister lives in Cambodia with her family. I see people living there the way they did 1,000 years ago. And they're happy. For real. They don't need missionaries to come over and bring cash. We can all live on less. Sometimes what's going on in your spirit is more important than the, I'm stressed out. That's why you're stressed out, because your spirit is sick. Am I making any sense? Right? There comes times where we got to stop everything that's going on. Give God a chance, right? Let go, let God. Give God a chance to have more effect on me, His love to have more influence on me than anything else. Because guess what happens when that happens? The direct result, Jesus was really clear. Righteousness, I've got good relationships with God and with other people. Peace, and the way He talked about peace, is even when you don't understand what's going on. And joy, that's a strength that doesn't fade. Now that's the kind of joy that's not a human emotion that's here now and gone later and you got to get a pill to get it back. Right? He's talking about joy that's a strength, that's your life, that's what you do, that it lifts you, it carries you. But we can't have those things if we're carrying weight we're not designed to carry. Now, just to kind of take the analogy a little bit further, lift is possible when we reach the speed we're designed for. We're all designed for a different life speed. Okay? Some of us can run faster than others. It doesn't make you worth more. Some of you are running too fast and you need to slow down. You can't get off the ground because you're not at the speed you're designed for. You got a lot of speed, but guess what? You also have a lot of drag. If the drag, the wind resistance, is greater than the thrust giving you the speed, you will still not get off the ground. Anyone ever felt like, my life is going so fast, but I can't get off the ground? Right? Now, lift is also possible, kind of following the airplane analogy, when we move the direction we're designed to move. Airplanes are designed to go forward, not designed to go backward. Some of us are going backward in life. You're not going the direction. Jesus said, repent or you will perish. When he said that word repent, it's a very simple word. It means turn around. It means you're going this way, serving yourself, trying to please yourself, only thinking about yourself. And it's time for you to confess where you're doing wrong and turn around and chase him. Right? Now, when we are carrying the weight we're designed for, reach the speed we're designed for, and move the direction we're designed for, then real lift is possible. Come on. Okay. The direct result is that when God's having more effect on you than anything else, you have hope and you have encouragement. For real. Hope and encouragement. God's love for you, that's the result. I want you to be able to say, my life is on the way up because the love of God has more effect on me than anything else. The love of God. God's personal love for you. More effect on me than anything else. Will you stand with me, please, as we close? We're just going to close with this prayer that's on the screen. I hope you've enjoyed this series. The analogy definitely applies to a lot of spiritual stuff in your life. But most of you already know that my life was really changed when I came to a point in my life where I dropped everything and just started to study what the Bible said about God's love for me. It ended up being a year and a half of just any spare time I had, that was it. I didn't do the normal devotional stuff. I didn't read any other Christian books. I literally just stopped. And the first day, I thought it would last that day. And it ended up really being a year and a half before God moved me on to something different. But I can tell you that the insecurity that I used to have, the fear that I used to have, even the pride that I used to have, the selfishness that I used to have, was really changed during that season of my life. And I'd be embarrassed to tell you how old I was. Right? I think it's easy for us to say that we all can benefit from a better, deeper understanding, literally like a digestion of what God's love for us really means. Right? So I don't always do this, but I have a written prayer that I want us to pray together as we close this morning, and then I'll close us in prayer. And if you'd like prayer, if you'd like to confess Jesus as your Savior, if you need physical healing, if you want to come and ask questions about the church, whatever it is, please feel free to come forward to the front. The other leaders and myself will be here, and we'll have food out in the concession area. We can enjoy some hanging out time this morning as well. Please don't leave until someone's had a chance to shake your hand, give you a hug, and love on you today. Okay, I want us to pray this prayer together first. I almost forgot. Last Sunday, I talked about camp, summer camp, particularly for high school, college kids. I have envelopes in the box this morning to help. I know some of us give cash because we need to make sure that you note that the money that you're giving is for a camp scholarship. We've already had a donation that's been great, a couple of donations, and I'm excited about it. It's going to be an awesome time coming up at the end of July. And so that's what the envelopes in there are for, if you want to make a donation so that one of our high schoolers can go to a youth camp. Okay, so we're going to close with this prayer, saying this prayer together, if you will, just as a way to kind of focus yourself and get you ready for this week, since today is the first day of the week. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3, God, I choose today to receive your love for me. This week, I'm making a fresh commitment to be more focused on you than anything else in your life. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you love us with an unfailing love, that you love us not for what you can get out of us, but because of what you want to get to us and through us. I thank you that your love never fails. You never give up on us, that you care for us, that you have a hope and a future for our life, a love for our life, that you don't want us to walk with a limp anymore, but you want us to be healed and healed completely. We thank you. We receive it today. I pray that you help us to love on each other today and really digest what your love for us means. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please feel free to come forward to the front if you'd like prayer, you want to talk. Thank you so much for coming today. Look forward to seeing you all again real soon.